shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Friday night here. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, and what better show to be with you here on a Friday night than the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Truth is our bitch, funny is her sister. That's where we live. That's where we am at. And we are happy to have you alongside tonight. Colleen Kristen Brewster pays a visit to our show for the first time in many a year. I think, Colleen, the last time we had her on, she was promoting one of her cruises. She had gone off and gotten married, still has her travel agency. And we're going to talk about a Mother's Day cruise, probably one of the more unique Mother's Day cruises that you'll hear about in just a moment. Vernon Dozier is also going to share his thoughts about Mother's Day and what they're planning, or what they were doing, I should say, at Belmar Academy over this past week. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That is the home base of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. If you get a backstage pass, you can watch our show as it is broadcast. You can watch our show as a video cast on Phil TV in HD with the roiling Pacific behind us, the El Pacifico. We're also, of course, making available to you a podcast of our show. We have thousands and thousands of hours of archived material, which is just about complete now, and we will have that all logged. If you have not heard our archives, we now have a brand new site, a porthole, if you will, to our regular show site. It's called philhendryradio.com. We are streaming 3 free hours of the Phil Hendry Show there right now, and we do it 24 hours a day. So there's always going to be Phil Hendry Radio streaming at philhendryradio.com. Check it out. And we're also going to be linking our podcast there, which has a tentative rollout of May 21st. Very exciting news coming up here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 at Shrimps in Laguna Beach. Joining us for the first time, Colleen Kristen Brewster. Colleen, great to talk with you. Been a long time.
It has been too long, Phil, and I'm just smiling from ear to ear talking to you, because you mentioned I got married, and we had a lot of twists and turns over the last few years, but On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, which is the name of our agency, has never missed a step, Phil, and we've always been in business, and we have always been out front, really, in the travel business, and we are excited about our Mother's Day cruise.
Tell me, when you call it On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, you mentioned to me the last time I talked to you, it's the only travel agency named after its owner in that way?
Well, exactly, Phil. When we first opened the On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, I said to my partner at the time, who was Dave Shafil, and you know Dave, a wonderful man who's gone off into the travel business himself.
That sounded like Dave Chappelle. We don't want people to think.
No, I wish it was Dave Chappelle. No, Dave Shafil was a schoolmate of mine at University of Cal State Northridge. But when we started the business, I said to Dave that I wanted it to be like a performance. I wanted it to be something that was almost like a TV show that you tuned into, you know, so that when you came into our office and you accessed the entertainment, whether you accessed the travel services that we would provide to you, that it would be very entertaining, that it would be like stepping into a movie theater and enjoying a performance. And that's what we want people to feel, especially with our Mother's Day cruise.
All right, we're going to get to talking about this Mother's Day cruise now, which has a character all its own. And I know this is something that I've been used to when I am talking to you, Colleen. Colleen Kristen Brewster, our guest, folks. She is the owner of On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, a travel agency in Laguna Beach, California. Your signature offerings are generally cruises that you and your partners put together.
Yes, that's exactly right, Bill.
Well,
it's no different from Easy As She Goes. Easy As She Goes was conceptualized by myself and by Megan Duffy, who was one of our travel partners, what we like to call one of our cast members. You've heard Disney World and Disneyland use the term cast member for their employees. We like to use the term cast member, too. And Megan Duffy is one of our cast members.
What, when you say you conceived of... Now, Easy As She Goes is the name of the cruise?
That's correct, Phil. Easy As She Goes is the name of our cruise that will be going out of Long Beach on Sunday, and King of the Blue Cruises, which is a brand new cruise line. And the Easy As She Goes cruises was conceptualized by myself and by Megan Duffy, who is one of our cast members.
But tell me what makes this cruise unique.
Well, a cruise that is a Mother's Day cruise. It honors our mothers, as all Mother's Day cruises will. It honors a lot of the mothers who might not have been the most successful mothers. And when I was talking to Megan, and we were, having dinner one night, and I said, you know, and I was very, very honest, and I was very candid with Megan, as I usually am. And I said to her, you know, Megan, my mother was not the best mother in the world. And Megan made a very good point. She said, whose mother really has been the best mother in the world? I said, but my mother, you know. And she knows a lot of the story. And
What was it about, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I don't mind, Phil. My mother was very abusive to the point where I think that a lot of what my mother did to me and to my younger brother might have been criminal in nature. I don't like to focus on it. I want to think of my mother in the best possible ways that I can.
What do you mean criminal?
Oh, you know, using lit cigarettes and to discipline. And
okay, so she was an absolute, she was abusive.
My mother was abusive, though, but I really don't want to get into any kind of ugliness or any kind of discussion about that, because really, I have been able to build my life and my business on the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster as a forward-moving thing. And that's why we also call it On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, because we are moving forward and we're not looking back and we're making our lives as proactive as we possibly can. And to that extent, Phil, Ben has been with me, my younger brother. He's now in his seventh year with me. Ben has been one of our primary travel agents and has been very good and instrumental.
This is the younger brother who was also...
Yes, Ben was my younger brother, and we both were, you know, subjected to some fairly sadistic treatment. But again, you can either live in the past or you can live in the future. And Ben and I choose to live in the future.
Colleen Kristen Brewster is with us from the On the Go Colleen Kristen Brewster, On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster Travel Agency. This Easy As She Goes Cruises, that's the name of the cruise?
Yes, it is, Phil. That was an idea that Megan and Ben both came up with, Easy As She Goes, where we have our mothers. And again, Phil, to really to give you an idea as to what the cruise is about, the mothers that are going to be on our cruise this Sunday are mothers that were not the most, were not the best mothers in the world. As I said, my own mother is going to be there. They were abusive in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, they were subjected to their own forms of abuse at the hands of their husbands. In a word, they were not the best mothers in the world, but they are our mothers. And
so these are women. Why would they go on a cruise as opposed to being with their families? Don't want to be with them?
Well, in some instances, their families don't want to be with them. In other instances, and I would say, Phil, in most instances, a lot of these family members, the mothers are embarrassed. They don't want to be around the family members because it's just going to turn into them discussing or talking about some of the sadistic things that they did. And to be reminded of those things, a lot of these women just, they really don't want to think about it anymore. So we have this cruise where you can come on board and be with other women who maybe they engaged in some of the same behavior that you engaged in. I don't know. But it's a way to relax on a day, to enjoy a champagne brunch. We're going to take the cruise to Ensenada, and we'll bring it back by late Monday afternoon.
So it's an overnight cruise?
It's an overnight cruise, and we'll have dinner with the captain. There'll be a champagne brunch. And these women, to the extent that they cannot be with their families because the families are going to harangue them and browbeat them, and a lot of people can't get past a lot of that, and they're going to ask them about this.
Well, you say, is your mother going to be there?
Yeah, my mother is going to be here, and we had to talk her into it because she was afraid that I was going to bring up a lot of things, and Ben would too. And Megan was really our intermediary, and I love you, Megan. Thank you very much for really stepping into the breach and telling my mother that we're not going to bring up a lot of these ugly things.
All right, so you've got a mother. I just want to be clear. Your mother would use cigarettes, lit cigarettes, to discipline you. And some of these other women did equally sadistic things. And you're going to host a cruise for them. A lot of people might think they belong in a jail cell.
I feel, again, we are a proactive company, and my feeling and Ben's feeling, we're moving ahead. On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is not about looking back, it's about looking forward. And we want to take this opportunity to provide a cruise experience for mothers who may be alienated from their children or are tired of being abused themselves now in their older years by these children who are saying, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Oh, really? Well, maybe they don't want to talk about that any longer. And we are here to say, you know, we can facilitate that. And we are here to say, you have a right to some peace and quiet, too.
All right, calling Kristen Brewster is with us. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. Colin, it's really good to be with you. Can you hang on?
I'd be very happy to, Phil, and thank you again for having us on.
Well, we're really happy to have you on. Calling Kristen Brewster down there at Shrimps in Laguna Beach, talking to us about a cruise that she has on Sunday called the Easy As She Goes Cruise for mothers who might have been abusive toward their children, who might have been alcoholic or had other problems and didn't treat their children well, and really either don't have anywhere to go for Mother's Day or can't be around their kids because their kids are now reminding them of all the stuff they did and they just would like a little peace and quiet. It's called the Easy As She Goes Cruise. We'll be back with Colin Kristen Brewster. Our number 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Colleen Kristen Brewster with us in Laguna Beach, California, as we're talking about the cruise that she's got coming up for Sunday. And this is a very unusual cruise, Colleen. It is for mothers who were abusive toward their children. And the behavior that you talked about, you know, where your mother burnt you with a cigarette.
You know, I really think that the reason why we're having this cruise, and my brother Ben has been very instrumental in helping with the organization of this, is because we want to move forward. Both my brother and I were the victims of physical abuse at the hands of my mother, and we also had a father who was disengaged. Our father didn't either see it or he didn't do anything about it, so we had anger issues throughout our lives concerning this, but we felt that one of the ways to begin the healing process is this Easy As She Goes cruise. I know that a lot of the women we're going to have on board our ship on Sunday did some pretty terrible things to their children. We're talking about physical abuse, that some of it might have even bordered on criminality, as I mentioned.
Well, don't you think that...
Just to finish up, Phil.
Go ahead.
I know that some of it may have bordered on criminality, and some of it may have been in the form of enabling sexual abuse. But remember this, please, Phil, and your listeners need to remember this, too. That really, On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is not about anything other than moving forward, looking ahead, and feeling good about what we do, and creating good relationships in our lives. While I suffered at the hands of my mother, I also want her to have somewhere to go on Mother's Day.
Well, why can't she just... Let me ask you this. I need to interrupt and ask you this. She needs to have somewhere to go on Mother's Day.
Yes, she does.
Okay, well, hold on. Why couldn't she be with you?
Well, she's going to be with us because we're having our cruise, obviously. And
no, but what I'm saying is, why won't you have a nice brunch with her or have a nice day with her?
Because I don't really want to do that. I don't see myself sitting down comfortably one-on-one with my mother and having a so-called nice day with her. This is a woman that held lit cigarettes to my feet and to my brother. This is a woman that wouldn't allow us to go to the bathroom. If we were bad, we had to hold it.
Your mother was out and out sadistic.
I don't want to use words like that, Phil. I want to use words. She was troubled. She was herself the victim, I think, of a husband that didn't have time for her. My father worked a lot. He was out of the house a lot. So I don't want to use those words.
So why, again, you just said, though, you don't want to use the word, but you don't want to be with your mother, you know.
We're getting a little bit sidetracked here. I wanted to come on your program today to talk about On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, and we wanted to talk about the Easy As She Goes cruise, and my brother Ben did, too. I didn't want to be on here going on and on about my mother being sadistic. That's not what our cruise is about.
All right, well, okay, I understand that. This cruise is going to have mothers who can't be with their kids.
That's correct. They either can't be or they don't want to be because the kids continually harangue them over the past. They bring up these things we're talking about. They want to argue about it. They want to fight about it, or more to the point, they want to just have a moment of sheer tension in the house throughout the entire Mother's Day, so that there is no peace. That's not what we're about at On the Go with Colleen, Kristen, Brewster, and I told you that. So what we want to do.
Hold on, because this is getting to the point of. This is getting to the point of what I'm trying to say. You say that these are women that cannot be on, they cannot be with their kids on Mother's Day because of all of this pressure. But you are aware of the pressure, and you have an opportunity to be with your mother on Mother's Day rather than put her on this cruise.
No, well, that's just it. I am aware of the pressure, but I still cannot be with my mother. I can't really, the thought of being with my mother, whether it's Mother's Day or any other day, is not a pleasant thought. And unless we can put her on a ship, on a cruise ship where we have lots of people to interact with, and we have, and my brother Ben is the same way, it would not be comfortable for us to be with our mother on Mother's Day, given what she's done to us, given the scars that she's left, and given some of the really, truly horrible memories that we have of the things that she did. But here we have an opportunity to go out and to work and to make some money, and at the same time, to whatever extent it's possible, honor our mother. It's not a very pleasant thought, but at least we'll be there with other women, other mothers that we can talk with and take our mind off of really the horrible things that our own mother did. But we do want to have our mother on this cruise because we feel it's important to honor her, and we feel it's important that she have this day, Mother's Day. And
all right, but what you're saying here is
but we do feel it's important, Bill.
No, but what you're saying here is it's Mother's Day, and your mother deserves to have this day, but you can't bear the thought of being with her.
Because of the horror that she put us through, yeah. And my brother Ben, too, you know.
Okay, so because your mother put you through this, quote, and you're using the word, I'm not using it, horror, and the sadistic things she did.
Yes, well, I know, but I'm not, it's On the Go with Colleen, Kristen Brewster has called that for a reason. We're proactive. And
no, I know you're proactive, but you can't be that proactive if you're saying, my mother put me through all kinds of horror. And
oh, Bill, can you hang on for a minute because we're going to toast. We got Sherry Bridges here and Megan Duffy's here, and I want to toast. And we're doing a toast to Megan. This is Megan's 43rd birthday, and I want to toast. And I'm on the radio right now on the Phil Henry Show that is going across national, all over America, and on the internet too. And I want to toast Megan, and we love you, and thank you for helping us put together Easy As She Goes Cruises. Drink up, everyone. Oh, that was fun. All right.
So that was your partner, huh?
Yeah, that's Megan. And so we're going to have to let her go on Monday. I think she's aware of it. I'm not sure. I think Ben's going to tell her.
She's going to be fired.
No, we're going to let her go with the proviso that we'll bring her back. That's not fired. We're laying her off a little bit. We're giving her some. We're giving her notice pay and some severance pay. But getting back to your comment, Bill, the horror and the sadism that my mother put me through will not leave me anytime soon. The physical scars that my mother has left. I walk with a slight limp today. There's a question as to whether I'll be able to have children or not, all because of what my mother did. So it's not that I'm up.
Good Lord.
Well, it's not that I'm not mindful of these things, Phil. It's that Easy As She Goes Cruises is not going to look at them. Easy As She Goes Cruises is going to ignore that, and On the Go with Colleen, Kristen Brewster is going to ignore that, as is my brother Ben, who's an employee.
So you remember this, but your travel agency does not.
My travel agency is here to honor my mother and all of these other mothers.
But what I'm saying is there's a split. It's a very interesting concept, but there seems to be a split here.
Well, we're not civil, Phil. I know what my mother did, but Colleen Kristen Brewster Cruises is more professional. I may not have children, Phil. I've got a scar. I don't want to be graphic, but I have a scar down there. And there's other things that my mother did to me. One leg is shorter than the other one. But I put all of that aside as a member of Colleen Kristen Brewster on the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster.
You have just described to me some horrible, horrible injuries that your mother inflicted on you. and I don't know how you forget them. 877-876-7445, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Colleen Kristen Brewster, who's having an easy-as-she-goes cruise for abusive mothers. She figures, let's move forward. Forgiveness is the best thing, even though she has terrible injuries. You heard her saying she may not be able to have children as the result of what her mother did to her. And she has a noticeable limp as well as burn scars. Wow.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL. Famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me, Colleen Kristen Brewster from the Colleen Kristen Brewster Travel Agency. And we're discussing with her upcoming cruise, which is the Easiest She Goes cruise. This is going to be happening on Sunday. And it will involve an invitation to abusive mothers, really.
And you know, you were asking some pretty good questions, and I think I gave you the tenor of what this cruise is about.
I understand that.
You know, we did not, really, I didn't want to come on your program, Phil, and have the cruise subjected to a kind of a critical scrutiny. I understand that you have a feeling about it, and I certainly do not think that you know, you should be kept from your feelings, but we want to talk about our cruise in a proactive way. Again, keep in mind that both myself and my brother Ben, who works for On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, is one of our cast members. We were both very badly abused by our mother. I will tell you that while Ben does work with the public and works with the public during our cruise, my brother Ben was disfigured by scalding water. So there is a portion of his face that is very badly scarred. We try to keep him, you know, in the background.
Oh, my God. And are you sure your brother is okay with this?
No, my brother is fine with this. And to suggest otherwise, I think, takes it off point. On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is proactive. And it's about doing things that are going to make people... Can I get into the champagne? That are going to make people feel good about their mothers, regardless of the horror, the nightmare, the sort of gothic or even black nightmare that a mother or a father or bad parents can put their kid through.
The horror, you use words... as if this is exactly within your memory.
Again, Phil, I don't want to talk about it, not in the way that you're talking about it. I've given you all the information that you will ever need. My brother is a happy man today. He's going to be working with us on the cruise.
You said that your brother was disfigured by scalding water.
Yes, he was. And if my brother is able to work on this cruise with these abusive women, these women who may have been guilty of... For all I know, they could have been guilty of capital crimes, murder. We're going to do the best we can for these women who don't have a family this Mother's Day.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Oh, I'm having a very difficult time, and I'm sure you can well imagine, Ms. Brewster, celebrating mothers on a Mother's Day cruise that disfigured a son, left a daughter with a limp and a scar where she may not be able to have children. And you may be reminding people of things that they went through.
Well, Mr. Hendry, I'm not reminding them of things of what they went through. You're reminding them by asking these questions. On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is about, it's about enjoying life. It's about loving life. If you think of the name of our company, it's about love. And for you to suggest otherwise, I think, is disingenuous.
All right, let's go to Herb. Hi, Herb. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Colleen Kristen Brewster. Go ahead.
Phil, I'm very grateful you've taken my phone call. Ms. Brewster, how are you?
I'm doing well, Herb. How are you?
I'm not well, and I'll tell you why I'm not well. I agree with Mr. Hendry. You know, I have to give you a little background on myself.
Well, if this is going to denigrate into a discussion of whether or not we should be having the cruise, I really don't want to talk about it.
You have the courage, miss, to at least listen to me.
Well, I don't...
Do you have the courage to at least listen to me, miss? Because I have held on the phone line here for quite some time. My mother was abusive to me. And if you're talking about a cruise, if you were asking me to go on a cruise
Why did you have your mother come on our cruise?
Well, I was going to... If you were going to ask me to go on a cruise with my mother, how do you feel about a man that rapes his own mother?
That is absolutely horrible, and we would never countenance that.
Well, that is what you'd be inviting onto your ship.
Well, that is absolutely horrible, Herb, and I think there's a lot to work through there, obviously, but I think it can be. And I think if you allow yourself to just be mired in all of that negativity, obviously that's going to happen. And
no, this is not about me miring myself in negativity. This is about a man that would gleefully rape his own mother on board your ship. Now, I wonder if the cruise line would have, what would they say?
Are you talking about indemnifying our company, or indemnifying the cruise line? Is that what you're saying? Because I'm way ahead of you, Herb. I'm not in business for 12 years.
Oh, you're way ahead of me, are you? So, in other words, what you're saying to me, miss, allow me to just say this. What you're saying to me is the following thing. I'm on the radio right now. I'm on the Phil Henry Show. And by the way, just so you know my background, Phil knows who I am. I was in Atascadero Psychiatric Hospital for 8 years because of child molestation and violence against women. Now, how does that sit with you?
Well, I'm very aware of those crimes. I know that people commit them. It's not going to keep me from having you on my cruise ship or your mama.
By the way, I don't call her my mama. I call her mother. I don't even get... And what I'm saying is this.
All right, mother.
Yes, but if you don't mind, I call her mother. No one else. You can call her my mother.
All right, my mother.
Are you being smart now?
Okay, let's just move along with this.
I was just making a joke, that's all. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't need your joke. What I'm saying to you is this. If the cruise line knows that you invited on board your cruise ship on this Easy As She Goes, and I have to tell you, I am so warped as a human being. I've been in a psychiatric hospital. I hate my mother because of what she did to me. And when you say you've got a cruise called Easy As She Goes, do you know what I think of?
Oh, let me guess, Vaseline?
You're right, I do. So in other words, you're well aware...
Are you aware of what it is that could happen on your ship?
No, I'm not well aware of what it is that could happen on my ship. I know what might happen, and on our cruises, Phil, on the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster, you can call it silly, but we like to sprinkle a little bit of fairy dust on everybody that comes on board so that people have a much more pleasant time. But I know the sickness and the depths of depravity and the darkness that some minds go into. My mind went there for a long time, as I'm sure Herb does.
Yeah, well, okay. Since you're very familiar... When I hear Easy As She Goes, yes, that's what I think of. Now, how do you suppose the cruise line is going to accept all of this information when they find out that I came on board your ship, I might have raped my own mother, and then thrown her overboard, and you knew all about it all along? Do you think you might be sued? A little bit.
Well, just because you're doing impressions from Carlito's Way right now doesn't mean that I'm completely stupid. When you go a little bit, I've seen that movie and I know it's real hardcore gangsta. But what I'm saying to you is simply that...
I'm not trying to be a hardcore gangsta. I am talking about...
Come on, let her finish, will you?
Well,
You were doing a little bit of a smart-ass thing there.
Phil, the only thing I want to say to Herb is this. If you bring your mother on board our boat, I guarantee there won't be any thoughts of those kind in your mind. You will want to enjoy a champagne brunch, and do you know about brunches on the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster?
I know about brunches. I don't know about on the go with Colleen Kristen. I doubt very seriously, Colleen, if we would even be at brunch. I think by that point I would probably have my mother bound and gagged and be dragging her dead body out of the stateroom.
You know what? I don't think so, Herb. I think that when you get on board our ship...
No, I think so. I think so.
And you're not even on board our ship yet. When we sprinkle you with some of the fairy dust of the on-the-go calling Kristen Brewster, and...
But see, first of all, I can tell you, the way you're talking now makes me want to put my hands around someone's throat.
Now, that's the way I'm talking. A lot of men say that to me. The first thing they say when they go out with me is they say, you know, when I talk to you on the phone, I really wanted to strangle the life out of you, but now you're delightful. And I think you'll find me to be very delightful.
Is that right? Well, Phil, I want to say something in all responsibility. You know I'm a criminal. You know I've been in prison. If this woman invites me and mother on board her ship, Mother. You know Mother.
No, I don't know Mother, but I know that you have had issues.
Had issues? Had issues? Mother wanted to marry me. Do you understand that? Mother insisted that I take her to my first prom. Mother insisted that she be my first wife. Mother insisted that I, quote-unquote, take a look at him so that I would have something to live for.
All right, I don't need to hear this. God, do you hear what's going on here, Colleen? This is the kind of nightmare that people have lived through. Why would you, with this cruise, why would you want to resurrect this?
No, we are not resurrecting. I feel very confident. We've had our easy-as-you-go cruises before. We had a man who came on board our cruise. This is a man who had serious issues with his own mother. In fact, he had been in a psychiatric hospital because he had dreams. He had dreams, Phil, of killing his mother and dismembering her and feeding her to fish. But Mr. Toomey came on board our cruise with his mother, and it was a wonderful cruise.
She'd say Toomey.
Are you talking about Randall Toomey?
Yeah, I'm talking about Randall too. I know he's in the nut house now.
No, he's not in a nut house. He's out of Tascadero. I know Randall Toomey. He did exactly that to his entire family.
No, I know, but not to his mother.
But what difference does it? But not to his mother. You know, this woman is just killing me. She's killing me. You're saying...
Colleen, you know this man slaughtered his entire family and used them as bait.
He slaughtered his entire family, used them as bait.
I know, and he caught a record-setting sea bass. I know. We read about it in the newspaper, and I said I was very upset, obviously, by the crime, but I said every cloud has a silver lining. It doesn't seem like a lot. In fact, it seems rather, almost, as you mentioned, Phil McCaw, but to see that trophy fish that he caught, there was something about that I thought was very in keeping, I think, with the very positive vibrations and the positive feeling of on the go with coming Pitt and Brutter. And hold on, Phil.
No, I'm not holding on. I got to take a break here. Herb?
Well, Phil, if you can hear with this woman, she is distracted. She's having champagne toasts. She doesn't hear me.
Would you really do that?
Do what?
If you went on board that ship?
Are you listening to this woman, Phil? If you're listening to this woman, there's no way I could go on a ship with this woman and not kill Mother. There's no way I could go on a ship with this woman and not kill Mother and throw her overboard. There's no way. So I think that really what this woman is saying is irresponsible in the extreme. And
I got it back. We got another bottle of Moet. I thought they ran out of the Moet Chandonville, but they didn't.
Okay, we're going to take a break.
Thank you, Phil. And Herb, I'm so sorry about your mother or my mother. And
My mother.
About your mother, but I can guarantee you if you come on the cruise, you and Mom will enjoy. You will enjoy your time together. I can't guarantee that it won't lapse back into that sexual dynamic. But I also.
All right, I got to cut her off. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Colleen Kristen Brewster and the Easy As She Goes tour, whereby abusive mothers are invited on board the ship. That's how they're going to spend their Mother's Day. They may have abused their kids. In Colleen's case, her mother left her with one leg shorter than the other and her brother's face disfigured. But hey, they're having Mom on board their ship on Mother's Day. Wow. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is a travel agency out of California. She is, Colleen is with us, the owner of On the Go with Colleen Kristen Brewster. Very unusual travel agency from at least the standpoint of this Mother's Day cruise. The Easy As She Goes cruise that you are sponsoring, Colleen. And I know in tandem with some of your partners, and you've been talking about, there have been all kinds of very disturbing things here.
Well, it's only disturbing to people. You know what I think is interesting, Phil, if I could say?
Go ahead.
I think it's only disturbing to people who are judging. My mother, I'm the one who was subjected to the abuse. My brother Ben was subjected to the abuse, and Megan was. And a lot of our partners and a lot of our frontline partners and our Celebration 2011 and 2012 partners, a lot of them were abused and raped by their parents. And
Did you hear what you just said?
I'm sorry?
Did you hear what you just said? A lot of our Celebration 2012 partners were raped by their parents. These are partners of yours in your cruise business.
That's correct, Phil, but on the go with... You have to understand, on the go with Colleen Kristen Brewster is a proactive. We move forward. We don't look back. My brother Ben was disfigured by scalding water. I have one leg shorter than the other. My mother did a lot of things that were criminal to us, but my mother is going to be on the cruise on Sunday because she knows that... That she alienated her children. This is a chance for her to have a pleasant afternoon and still be with her kids, but not really have to suffer a lot of the judgment.
Well, that's a woman that I think should suffer judgment.
I know, but, you know, I don't really want to go into it anymore. I've got my brother Ben here. Ben probably suffered more than a lot of people, and yet he is still very much a part of... Hi, Ben. Come here, honey. Ben is here, and he's been with us at our celebration here tonight for Megan. Ben, are you looking forward to seeing Mom on Sunday? Okay, and
Hold on for a minute.
Excuse me, so wait. And when you see Mommy, are you going to be happy? Okay, so that you can see...
What happened to him? Is that Ben, the guy that we're...
What are you laughing at? Ben does a lot of our flyers. Ben does a lot of our artwork. And
What happened to him?
I told you he had scalding water thrown on his face.
And no, but I mean, he can't speak.
Well, he doesn't speak because he's had to wear a mask, and that the doctor explained it's what's called Phantom of the Opera Syndrome. And in Phantom of the Opera Syndrome, he looks in the mirror and he sees a mask on his face, and he starts to sound like a ghoul. You're not really a ghoul, are you, Ben?
No.
Have him speak up.
No, I'm not really cool. I was just making fun.
See, he was making fun.
Ben, let me talk to you for a minute.
Mr. Henry, what's up?
No. Talk to me with your regular voice.
Yes, sir.
Why do you go,
Well, it's called Phantom of the Opera Syndrome. I don't know if you're familiar with it. In which I saw myself in the mirror and I look like ghouly, you know.
Well, you have a British accent.
Yes, I was raised in Great Britain. I went to boarding school there. That's my father, but my father finally took custody of us when I was in my middle school years.
And was Colleen with you?
No, Colleen, I must tell the truth.
No, I wasn't. I was with Mother, and I was abused.
Lying. No, you're lying. Yes, she was abused, but she spent much of...
Phil... You are a whore, you know that. I'm telling you.
Colleen Kristen Brewster's a whore.
Oh, my God. I knew it was coming to this.
Wait, what is going on?
Hold on. Get him. He's going out the back way. Get him.
I got him.
You'll never get away with it, Colleen. Never. Yeah, I like this. Yeah, this is my kind of party now, Phil. I got him. Phil, I'll talk to you in a little bit, okay?
Well, what are you doing?
Really, it's none of your concern. Yeah, this is going to be a real good party now.
A cow. He's nothing more than a cow. You'll always be a cow. You'll always be Mommy's little cow. There's nothing you can do.
See what I got here?
What?
Scalding hot water.
Doesn't scare me at all. Go ahead. Disfigure the other side of my face. You think I care? I'm already a monster. A monster.
Oh, boy. Every time he does this...
Every time he does it? You know what? You got real problems. No wonder I haven't talked to you in 10 years.
Oh, Phil, get off your high horse, okay? So... You told everybody the secret about me not having really been abused by Mother, but the fact that I had a sexual relationship with Dad.
I never told him about that, you loudmouth, stupid slut. What a slut!
Wait a second. Were you lying about your mother?
Yes, I was.
But you had a sexual relationship with your father?
Yes.
He married her, Phil. Married her. The filthy cow man.
Get her back on.
Help, I can't.
Get it back. Get them back on. Who am I talking to?
Yes, this is Ben.
Where is Colleen?
I'll please have it right now, yes. I have to give a statement to police. There was never any real danger, Phil. There was never any real danger. Colleen, when she has too much champagne, loves to trot me out. She loves to lift up the mask and show the scarring. And I thought that I would turn the tables on her tonight. I thought I did quite a good job, eh, right?
Well, when you turned the tables on her, you're claiming you told the truth that she was not abused by her mother.
No, she's never abused by her mother. I was abused by her mother, and I was taken by my father. And our mother was committed to an insane asylum. That's what they called it then.
You mean a psychiatric hospital?
No, I refuse to call it that. She was committed to an insane asylum. As far as I know, she's still bouncing off the rubber walls.
Are you going to have her on this cruise?
I wouldn't have that cow on the cruise that I'm on if she was going to leave me an inheritance well into the gazillions. I wouldn't have her around. Now, Colleen is under arrest.
Well, what happened to Colleen as a kid, then? Was she abused by her? She wasn't.
No, not by her mother. Our father sexually abused Colleen, wanted to marry her. All of those things I heard that Anna Chan, what was Anna Chan's name?
Herb Sewell.
Yes, her. It's quite an interesting lusty conversation, eh, what? Anyway, I've got to go, son. I've got to go and talk here to the constable about Colleen. What a cow. What a perfect cow.
All right, well, thank you very much.
By the way, I'd like to get one of those shot glasses.
We'll be right back with Vernon Dozier on our Mother's Day doubleheader on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show here on this Friday night. Unless, of course, you're hearing this as a best of, and I don't know, it could be any night, right? Unless you're hearing it repurposed somehow. I always think about that, and they always say, you're going to have to repurpose it for the for this and that.
That means we got to get it out of comment.
It means, don't say the day, but what the hell. Anyway, welcome back to the show. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And right now we're on live streaming a video cast at philhenryshow.com. And with a backstage pass, you not only access our nightly video cast, you also can access thousands of hours of archive material. Tonight we've also rolled out and debuted a site for perhaps yourself. If you're not a Backstage Pass member or friends of yours who may have not heard our show, and the site is called philhenryradio.com. If you go to philhenryradio.com, there is a 24-hour stream of some archive material, Phil Henry Show archive material that you can listen to no matter what time of the day, and it's absolutely free. As you know, we have a subscription site, but philhenryradio.com is free material from our archives, and hopefully you'll listen to it and you'll say, maybe, I'd love to have me a backstage pass. Who knows?
Gotta be careful to say that.
Oh, why don't you grow up? He said, I gotta be careful how I say backstage pass.
Well, I've had some,
You've had some feedback on that? Okay, that's too bad. All right. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. Among the many frequent guests we have on our show is Vernon Dozier, who's a high school educator, a varsity football coach, a social sciences teacher at Belmar Academy. We had him on earlier this week talking with Father James McQuarters, who's also works at the parish there. And Vernon, it's good to have you back with us. Thanks so much. We want to talk a little bit about Mother's Day.
It's my pleasure, Phil, certainly I'm very, very grateful that I'm back on your program a couple times in 1 week.
So you don't mind, huh?
No, I don't mind at all.
Some people would consider that torture, but
no, I don't. I don't consider torture at all. I'm very grateful, and I like talking education. It is my vocation. It's what I've given my life to, and so I'm very happy to do that.
Vernon, Mother's Day is Sunday, and the kids at school at your school at Belmar Academy were taking classes in parenting. Is that right?
Our seniors and our juniors, Phil, were taking parenting classes. This was a class that we implemented just for this week. And it was about parenting. It was about not just having a baby and feeding and clothing a baby, but it was about the stages of development in a child's life and the pitfalls that can occur. That is, for instance, the safety of the child physically is very paramount when a child is young, and language is very important at that time. Certain habits, and again, this revolves around safety and also around learning, books and so forth. When a child gets to the adolescent years, there are other considerations. Socialization of a child takes place. And so we had our kids go through this, and we were very happy with the curriculum.
Who laid this out?
Well, this is actually University of Indiana was the original. It was sort of the original blueprint that we took and we adapted. But we thought we would implement this for the week before Mother's Day, because it's a day that focuses us on parenting, and you know, I have my own issues with it because I had you know, I felt very strongly about bringing this to the students because of my own experience. I heard your last guest, where she was trying to you know, make a good situation out of a bad childhood. I have had a similar experience, but I didn't want to spend the entire week talking about it, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I don't really.
Well, I think what I'm saying is that we had this curriculum on parenting that I felt we could use on a Friday or a Saturday, on a Friday or Thursday for our junior and seniors. And it turned out that the administration wanted to run this thing all week. And I had no idea they were thinking about that.
Well, was this your idea?
It was my idea, because I was trying to head off something that I did not want to put myself or my students through, and that was a what they wanted to call a parents' fair. So they wanted to have a 5-night-a-week parents' fair.
And now, what is a parents' fair?
This was going to be the students focusing on different aspects of parenting, and making displays, and doing projects, writing, painting, and I have a situation where I panic. I get into a panic. It's almost like an anxiety attack. And when they said, let's do a parents' fair, I had a difficult time breathing. I was taken outside. I was able to get some wind, get some air into me, but...
You're going to have to explain that, because we're talking here with... first of all, we're talking with Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. You're a very good teacher, Vernon.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, you are, but you're talking about simply curriculum on parenting for students in advance of Mother's Day, and it doesn't sound like it was a pleasant experience for you.
No, I wouldn't say that at all, Phil. It was fun, but I didn't want it to last a whole week. That's where it gets difficult for me. I'm not as strong as some people when it comes to, I feel I'm very strong. I shouldn't have said that. I'm very strong, and there's not a whole lot that scares me. I think I told you I trained myself as a young person to deal with situations.
Well, I don't know, but...
Well, I mean, for instance, I told you that I used to go into that bar that was in a primarily an African-American part of town, and I would go in there, and I would purposefully insult the patrons, and I'd allow myself to be beaten.
Okay, now you're reminding me. I never thought that story was a very good one.
Why is that?
I don't think that that's a healthy thing. Now, I know we have a difference of opinion, you know.
Well, I think it taught me. I wouldn't recommend it for anybody else.
But let me just get back to this other. You had an anxiety attack. I want to get to the bottom of that, if you don't mind.
Well, I mean, I had an anxiety attack because Mother's Day is an issue for me. I don't have the same, I don't want to say that I'm not as strong, but I don't have the same resiliency as some people. I want to celebrate Mother's Day, but I've got a level, I can take only so much of it.
I understand that. I understand it. But what you said was you went into a panic attack, and I just wanted to know what that was about.
Well, what that was about was when they said we were going to have a parents' fair, I said, I remember saying a prayer. I'm not a religious man, even though I teach at a private high school, a Catholic high school. I remember saying, if there's a way, and I believe Jesus said, if there's a way this cup can pass it from me, and I said that prayer because I froze up, and I could well see myself almost being laid on a cross. And I know I'm being dramatic, but I could see the nail. I could literally see the spikes going through my hands.
What are we talking about here?
I'm talking about this parents' fair.
Well, yeah, but you're talking about a project for kids on parenting that you didn't want to have to endure because it was almost like being crucified alive.
That is exactly correct, yes, sir. And I had...
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Well, I mean, I'm a teacher, so I have to put my students first. And if they're going to do a parenting project, what I did at that point is I just had to save myself. I couldn't say, let's not do anything on parenting. I had to help my students understand parenting and learn parenting, but I wasn't going to do a parents' fair. So a pair of parents. So, I mean, a parents...
Slow down.
I wasn't going to do a fairy pair, a parents' fair. And so... I said, how about if we just do 2 days of a parenting curriculum, and they went for it. And I looked to heaven, and I said, as Salieri said, I said, gracias, Señor. You know, gracias, Señor, you know, when he said that.
I don't, what is that?
Salieri, the guy that was he was a composer who was a rival of Mozart.
Oh, yeah. So he looked at Jesus on the cross.
Yeah, he said, gracias, Señor. I said that. Because God, you know, I feel Jesus, God, he got me out of a bind there. The very man who did get crucified got me out of being hammered up, you know.
All right, our number is 877.
You're making noises like you don't.
Well, I think there's some stuff to get into here, Vernon, that is apart from the parenting classes. You felt you were going to be crucified alive. You're saying prayers.
Let me tell you so that we can be real clear here, because apparently I haven't been clear, and I want to be clear, all right? My mother, when she dropped me off for school every day, she would drop me off in front of the school every day. Did your mother ever had that, do that?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Yes, my mother did. We got to get to a break.
Okay, let's just, I'm telling you something about me. And when you say we got to get to a break, it's like you...
Okay, I want to hear your story after the break.
Fine.
877-876-7445. Vernon Dozier, a high school teacher with an issue himself concerning Mother's Day. One that caused him to have a panic attack. One that caused him to pray that he didn't have to endure an entire week of a parents' fair. What is that about? What's going on there? A teacher. 877-876-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Breathe, Vernon, breathe.
World-famous Phil Henry Show here every night from the El Pacifico until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Our number is 877-876-7445. We have on the line with us here Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. We're talking tonight about the past week where the students were involved in a parenting class that it was almost a parents' fair. And you, what I'm hearing from your description of this week, Vernon, you didn't want to have this parents' fair. You were having an anxiety attack. You were having some problems there. You were able to talk them into just a two-day parenting curriculum. And the way you described it, you saved yourself from crucifixion.
I know
you're being facetious and figurative, but it was almost that painful.
That is exactly right. That is exactly right, emotionally. It was almost that painful. Now, let me, because you've got just, there's a guy here, I don't know if you ever heard of him, I used to listen to him all the time, my lunch breaks, this guy, Paul Harvey. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of Paul Harvey.
All right, he used to do a thing called The Rest of the Story. And if you ever heard it, he said, now it's time for the rest. And then he paused, of the story. And I love that so much, and would listen on a regular basis. And so what I want to do with you tonight is, here's now the rest, you know, as Paul Harvey say, of the story. When I was a young man, now I'm thinking about it. When I was a young man, okay, now I know you had this Kristen Brewster person. She said she'd been cigarettes lit on her and everything.
Yeah, well, she made some claims, yeah.
All right. And she seemed to be, you know, out of her business. I got to admire somebody. She's going to do her business. My mother, when she dropped me off from school, at school, I should say, would say, goodbye, son, and even with my friends standing there staring right at me, it was almost like she did. She knew it. And she turned my face toward her, and she kissed me full on the mouth. And she did this every morning of my life. When she dropped me off at school, she turned my face to her and kissed me on the mouth. She did that from first grade. Oh, boy.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. You know, let me tell you something. Don't ask me if I'm old. I can take a hell of a lot more just about anybody you know, so. Every morning my mother would kiss me on the mouth. And she did that every day of my life. From first grade all the way down to eighth grade on a Catholic school. And that's when I finally said to my father, I said, I can't do it. And my father said, well, what? I said, I ain't going to do it no more. And he said, well, what don't you? I said, don't you? And that for the first time in my life, I put my hands on my father. And may God forgive me. I grabbed my father by his lapels. He was wearing his suit jacket that morning. And I grabbed him by the lapels. And I said, I ain't going to do it. I said, I ain't going to do it, you stupid old fool. I ain't going to do it. And I said, I can still remember.
You weren't going to do what?
That's what he asked me. That's what he asked, you see, and that made me, when people ask me, well, you ain't going to do this, that's what makes me angry, because I remember my father looking at me with that impotent face of his. And I don't know if you've ever seen that before. But when your own father, who you loved and you worshipped, and he looks back at you with a face full of impotence and fear, and like he's got yet.
You know, you're going to have to pull it together here. You hearing me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Pull it together. We're on the air right now, so this is not primal scream therapy.
But Mr. Henry, don't talk to me like I'm some kind of a punk.
Well, I don't want to talk to you that way, sir. We got to keep this moving forward.
Oh, okay. Well, let's move it forward. My father let me down. I said, I can't do it no more. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And my father would look back at me like, son, I don't know, son. And I'd say, you dirty, stinking. My mother took me to school. She took me to school. My mother.
Your mother took you to school that day.
She took me to school.
And she kissed you on the mouth again.
She kissed me on my mouth. And I said to her, if you do that again, I'll kill you. That's the last time my mother ever took me to school.
How old were you?
That was my sophomore year in high school.
Sophomore year in high school. So your mother...
Yes. Now do you understand what I'm saying?
Please don't raise your voice like that.
I'm sorry, Phil. Now do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand what you're saying, okay? So at the...
Oh, my God. You're saying it like...
Mr. Dozier, shut up.
Sorry.
I understand you, sir, and I understand at the age of 15, having your mother kiss you on the mouth as she's letting you off for school is pretty jacked up. I understand that. Your father let you down. Did you ask your father? What did you ask him?
I said to him, what do you mean, what did I ask him? Are you listening to me?
I'm listening to you, yeah.
I said I can't do it anymore. I said to my father. My father.
Look, it, Vernon, you got to pull it together, okay? I mean, what, are you going to break down emotionally here on the radio?
I said to my father, I said, Dad, you better do something now, man. I said, you better do something now. It's like right out of Rebel Without a Cause. I remember that scene with James Dean. We said to his father, well, you better give me something. You better give me something. And he looked back at me just like that Jim Backus in a movie. He says, what do you want from me? So I said, you better do it. Well, he didn't do nothing.
All right, so your mother took you to school and kissed you on the mouth.
Yeah, that's it, Phil. Yeah, she took me to school and kissed me on the mouth. That's all. That's it. That's all. I'm sure that you've done, you know.
No, I'm not blowing it off. I just want to get to the... All right, so that happened. And was that the core? Was that the moment? Was that the...
No, it wasn't the moment.
Well, but that's the event?
No, it's not the event. It happened from the time I was in the first grade all the way to sophomore year of high school. Why won't you listen to me?
Sorry.
Sorry? He's sorry. Hey, Joan, he's sorry. Yeah, he's sorry. I just told my wife you're sorry. So she's... How do you feel about that, honey? Yeah, that's great. You go back and watch TV. She's sorry, okay.
I can't... What do you... I'm sorry. I think it's a terrible thing. So this past week, with that memory, and what you have dealt with in terms of your mother...
Exactly.
That's the kind of week it was for you.
Yes. Yes. That's what came up for me, and I'll tell you...
All right, we have to take a break.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Oh, would you get that? Get him under control. We'll be right back. Vernon Dozier talking about his mother. It's been a night of rather negative impressions of mothers, that's for sure. His mother kissed him on the lips before she let him off to go into school. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Listening to me? Are you listening to me?
Phil Hendry.
Can you take it?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. And we are also talking this hour, we will be talking this hour, to Dr. Jim Sadler in San Diego. I feel it's important to get him on the line, Vernon, and talk about what I think is an issue that's giving you a problem.
Think that was, you know, again, and I'll say this to your audience, I just think you did that's a bad thing to do, because I didn't come on your program to be paraded across a stage.
I'm not trying to parade you.
Oh, hold on, let me finish, please. I didn't come on your program to be paraded across a stage, you know, like I'm some punk bitch in a dress on a prison fashion show. I came on this show. I was telling you about me, okay?
Do you hear how emotional you are?
Yes. Oh no, I don't. Of course I'm emotional. My mother dropped me off at school and kissed me on the lips.
I know that.
No, you don't know that. You don't know that. And when the school says to me, when Belmar Academy says, hey, Vernon, why don't we have a week-long parents' fair, and you, Vernon, you can be a part of helping to organize this, and because you're the senior class advisor, and you do most of the science and social sciences for the seniors and for the juniors, okay? Are you listening to me?
Of course I'm listening to you. You're on my radio show.
And you, Vernon, and when they said that to me, I could feel, I swear to God, Phil, I am not kidding you, I felt a Roman centurion trying to flay the flesh right off my face with a whip, just like that movie when they were talking that Latin. and there was Kunikos Veritum and all that bull crap. My mother was like a Roman legionnaire. My mother looked like a Roman legionnaire. What I mean by that is my mother was very masculine. She looked like a guy, for want of a better word. She looked like a man. She dressed like a man. She acted like a man. I don't know how my father stomached it. And then at the end of the, and then she kissed me on the mouth. What do you think? Tell me what you feel, Mr. Henry, about someone that looks like a guy that works for AT&T kissing you on the mouth. Isn't that great?
Well, you're making me laugh, man.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Am I making you laugh? Well, that's great. To quote Joe Pesci, when he said, do I make you laugh? Am I a clown?
Yeah, that's right. That's what you did. You made me laugh.
So you think that I'm just a mama's boy, is that it?
No, I don't. I think that when you said a guy from eight, just the imagery, okay?
You think I need my nana, don't you? Don't you?
You're not going to yell at me, okay? Okay?
Yes.
All right, Dr. Jim Sadler is going to come on here, and yes, that's right. Dr. Sadler is going to talk with you a little bit. Dr. Sadler is at Crest Hospital in San Diego. How you doing, doctor?
Hi, Phil.
Vernon Dozier is back on with us.
I know Vernon. How are you, Vernon?
I wanted to say, doctor, you're not my doctor. I don't know why it is every time I'm on Phil's show.
You have evidenced some issues, and Phil, and I think if you and I work together, we could do a lot of good things, you know?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all.
Why don't you think that?
Well, the reason...
Oh, excuse me, Phil. Just let me talk to Vernon, Phil. And would someone answer that phone, please? Would someone answer the phone, please?
If you're going to talk to me, doctor, could you talk to me?
I'll talk to you in a minute. Hold on. Would someone answer? If I hear that phone one more time, I'm going to drive someone's head right through that thing that separates the waiting room from here.
Are you sure you want to be on the air with me?
Who's talking?
Phil Hendry.
No, I'm fine, Phil. Yes, I do. But there's been a phone ringing here. I'm in receiving at the hospital, and there's been a phone ringing here. If I hear that phone ring one more time, I'm going to grab the nearest person to me. Okay?
Dr. Sadler, if you want me to call you back...
Hold on, Phil. Hold on. Just hold on. It's all right. Don't get nervous. If I hear that phone ring one more time, I'm going to drive someone's head right through that wooden barrier there. The thing is... See that? Right there. The thing that separates... yeah. Okay, I'm fine, Phil. But I...
Dr. Sadler, this is Vernon Dozier.
Yeah. You wanna start giving me a hard time?
No, sir, I don't. I'm just trying to tell you that every time I come on Phil's show, they always have you come on.
Because, Vernon, you have issues that you're not dealing with properly, and that's what I wanted to do. Now, you said, Phil told me, that you have an issue with your mother kissing you on the mouth. Is that correct?
My mother kissed me on the mouth. Do I have an issue? No, I don't have an issue. I don't have an issue at all.
Did you not say you had a panic attack?
I had a panic attack, but it wasn't like Tony Soprano, you know, where you laid out. I just laid out laying there.
What was it?
It was a panic attack. I had a hard time breathing.
You had a hard time breathing when?
And they said they wanted to do a parents' fair for 5 days.
All right, because that reminded you of your mother, right?
Yes, it did.
Okay. So that's the panic attack, and that's something that you don't want to have. Did you want to have do that?
What? I just heard you go,
Please don't make fun of me. I've had a very long day. You think you had a long day?
I've had a very long day.
Okay. There it is. Hold on. What did I tell you?
Come on, don't do it, Doc.
Hey. Yeah, that did it. See that? I don't give a damn. I said if I heard the phone ring one more time, that I was going to take a hand and put it in there.
God almighty, what did he do?
He just sounds like he just was good on his word.
He ran a guy's head in.
I don't care. You can get a carpenter, get a guy that does cabinetry work, whatever, you can fix it. Who is he?
The head of orthopedics.
The head of orthopedics, well, guess what? The head of orthopedics just had his head run right through that thing if I heard that phone ring one more time. All right, Phil.
You know, you're probably about to be arrested.
Why don't you let me worry about that? I'm talking to... Who am I talking to?
Vernon Dozier, sir. Dr. Sadler,
Oh, my God!
Dr. Sadler, why don't you go somewhere else and you won't hear the phone ring?
I have to be here expecting a phone call.
Well, maybe that's your phone call.
On my cell phone.
Doctor, my mother,
What do you want?
You called me.
You were on to talk to him.
Oh, yeah.
My mother kissed me on the mouth.
Billy, let me tell you something. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
How would your mother like it if when she kissed you on the mouth, that I ran her head right through that? What I'm looking at right now is they got a Coke machine over here. You know the kind that they got the Coke, you know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah.
How would she like that?
I don't think she'd like it at all.
All right. So, you see, some problems are solved very easily.
I can't run my mother's head through a...
No, not when you were 15, but you can now.
I'm not going to run a little old lady's head through a Coke machine.
Then what are you crying about?
Why don't you give him some advice that's practical?
I'm giving him the best advice that I can give him on a night where I'm under so much pressure that I took the head of orthopedics at our hospital and I ran his head right through this wooden divider. I don't know what the hell they call it.
Like a desk?
A desk?
I don't know.
All right, doctor, I'll let you go on your way, okay?
All right. I mean, you guys don't want to talk anymore?
Not really, no. I don't want to talk to you.
I'd like to talk to him.
Well, you're not gonna, because I don't want to have this guy on my show anymore.
What a douche.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking with Vernon Dozier, and you were talking here. And I'm sorry that we had to get Dr. Sadler off the air, but he just assaulted somebody.
I can understand that, you know, but I was hoping to talk to him until the police came.
Well, we're not going to wait around for the cops to get there, okay? All right, so in any event, Mother's Day represents something negative to you, and so therefore for the entire week, you were under all of this pressure.
I was under pressure. Because they wanted to make a big deal out of it. And I said to the administration, why do you want to make a big deal out of Mother's Day? Every year that I've been here at Belmar Academy, they made a big deal out of Mother's Day. Now they're making another big deal out of it. And they made such a big deal out of it, I had a panic attack. Now, in an effort to help me, you put a man on the air with me that just engaged in physical violence. Do you think that helps me?
No, it doesn't help you.
Okay, Mr. Smartass talk show host. What you probably have done is made it worse. Because I just heard a man deal with his problem in a very glib manner by running a guy's head through something. He also advised me to take my own mother and run her head through a Coke machine. Now, what kind of psychiatrist or psychologist is that? What kind of psychiatrist or... psychologist is that?
Not a very good one.
That's exactly correct. Correctamundo. Not a very good one. So I'll take my chances. Thank you very much, Mr. Talk Show Host. If you don't mind, I'll take my chances with my psyche the way it is. I have not engaged in any violence. As much as I want to.
Didn't you say you grabbed your father's lapels?
Oh, way back when I was 15? Let's see, that was 25 years ago. No, I don't think so. That's not good enough.
All right, I can only tell you this, that if it's affecting your health...
It doesn't affect my health.
You said you had a panic attack.
Well, I got over it. Mr. Henry, I told you, and I'll tell you again... When I was a kid, I went to the toughest bar in town, in the black section of town. I walked in, and I told them all to kiss my you-know-what. And I got beat, and I got beat bad. And it took 3 hours, and they all took turns. And it went from inside the bar, out into the street, back into the bar. And you want to know something?
What?
I laughed. I laughed every time they lifted my head up and they were ready to go ahead and drive their fist right through my head again. I laughed. I was laughing. I had no teeth left and I was laughing. My mouth full of blood and I was laughing.
That's the kind of guy I am.
But you faint when someone mentions Mama.
You know something, buddy?
You faint when someone mentions your Mama.
When someone mentions my Mama, yes.
Okay.
Point made. What up?
Point made. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry. Yeah, that's right, man. That's right. They can beat your ass. They can kick your ass. Your mouth's full of blood, this and that. But when Mama's mentioned, you faint. You know what, Vernon? You're not alone, man. You're not alone. 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me, Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy, as we talk about, we were talking about Mother's Day, but really it's been a journey tonight for us on the show in that we have been taking these trips through the psyche of some of our guests, real issues with their mothers. And Vernon, I know it's been tough for you. You don't feel like you've had a sympathetic ear. I can tell you I've had issues of my own with my mother.
Nice if you'd start bringing some of these up.
I don't want to bring them up. That's the difference.
Well, you don't want to bring up. Then I don't think you've had issues with your mother.
Believe me, I have. Believe me, I have. I could go into a chapter and verse, but I don't want to bring them up. I choose to deal with them privately.
And is that a comment, then?
No, it's not. I'm not saying anything about you, okay?
Because I heard this woman, Kristen, Colleen Kristen, who was on your program.
Colleen Kristen Brewster?
Yes, sir. And she was on your program saying that she had been tortured by her mother and all this. And
yeah, but she also said that she was, trying to get over it.
Yeah, right. And here I am. I want to get over it, too, but I can't get over it by hosting a cruise. I got to get over it by somebody doing, you better do something. You know, it's like I said to my dad, you better do something for me, So what, if you say you've had issues...
I had issues with my mother. I had to go to therapy. And I'll tell you something. It took me a lot of years, man. And it screwed my life up.
The therapy?
No, not the therapy. The stuff that happened... the issues I had with my mother warped my life for about the first 20 years of my adulthood.
Well, that has not happened to me.
That's not happened to you. You can't have a parents' fair without having an anxiety attack.
That's not warping my life for the first 20 years.
Didn't you tell me that you wished that you had been a professional coach?
Look, we're not going to get into me, all right?
You told me that, though.
We're not going to get into me, okay? Let me tell you about Vernon Dozier. I told you, my wife, my first wife, who was a good woman, but she didn't understand me, and I told her, I said, I've been through a lot. I have to prepare for a lot. I have to show that I'm strong because I've been through things that could weaken other people. And I would go in the morning, as you know, and I told you this, I'd put my hand on the garage floor and I'd say, back the Range Rover over my hand, and she wouldn't do it. And
yeah, you told me this story, and I think it still sounds insane.
Yeah, you go right ahead and characterize it any way you want, mister. But I'll tell you that I am the only man I know who had his wife back the car over his hand every single morning for 7 years. Seven. Oh, man, I can remember how bad it hurt. 7 years.
Have you got a hand left?
Yes, I've got a hand left. And I use it for a lot of things. And some of the things I use it for is none of your business. How do you feel about that?
I'm not interested.
Oh, is that right? You're not interested. Well, maybe I should tell you.
I don't want to hear what you use that hand for. And you had your wife back the car over your hand. Why?
Oh, my God. Aren't you listening to me?
I'm listening to your idiotic story, yeah.
Idiotic? My wife backed that car over my hand so I could prove to myself that I could take that pain. And I could. Now, that hand, which is my right hand, I still got it. there's things I can do with it, and there's things that I can't do with it. Most of the time, I just keep it in a pocket.
And why is that?
Because I feel more comfortable hiding it from people. Oh, boy, if you're laughing at me.
Yeah, I am laughing at you.
And why are you laughing? Well,
877-876-PHIL. R.C. is on the line here from Alhambra. Go ahead, R.C., you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Henry, I want to talk to Coach Dozier.
My name is Dozier.
Is your name Dozier?
My name is Dozier, son.
Okay, sir. I'm at a military academy. Right now we're at mess. And I've been listening to your story. I've listened on a pod, on my iPod. And anyway, I wanted to ask you about when you says you went into the bar and they beat your face.
Yes, son.
Did they beat your face in?
Yes, they beat my face in. They kicked my ass all over the bar, kicked my ass outside, knocked my teeth out.
And why did you do that?
I did it to prove that I could take anything. I did it to prove that I could take pain, that I could take the worst that life had to offer, and I'd still just laugh and hide, laugh and laugh and laugh.
Well, yeah, but you're not laughing now when they said that your mom was going to, when they said your mommy.
What does that mean, mommy?
Well, that's what you couldn't breathe when they brought up your mommy.
Hey, if you say mommy one more time, I'll come through the phone, and I'll mommy you.
What did you say?
I said if you say mommy one more time to me, I'll come through the phone, and I'll mommy you. How does that feel?
All right. I've had about enough.
No, hold on.
Mommy, mommy.
Okay, that's it.
What is that sound there?
I don't know, Mr. Henry, but that guy was saying... Hold on for a minute. That must be the pizza. Hello?
Yeah, Domino's.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mommy, 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 huh? Mommy, mommy, mommy. Well, let me tell
you... Okay.
Lost the line.
Lost the line, huh? We're always losing the line, man.
Yeah, I always have the good time, too.
What do you mean the good time? You know, these guys that are going through the phone on us, you might want to have the phone company check on that, okay?
Ain't they supposed to do that?
No, they're not supposed to do that. Mommy, 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 mommy. You know who that kid is. I know that you hang out with him, so there you go. Thank you, Vernon Dozier. If you ever find your way back to where you live, if you're able to get through the phone line again back to your house. Good Lord. We'll be back with our news and information hour and more on philhenryradio.com, our new website with live free streaming Phil Henry Show material on it, philhenryradio.com. We'll be right back on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, that's right.
Mommy, 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 mommy. Ouch. I can't sit down.
That's the idea.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show here on our Phil TV in HD screen. A moment ago, we had Carol Shelby's, the story of the passing of the legendary Carol Shelby. And we'll start the hour out with him and Bud and Robert, you guys. Bud and Robert with me here in our News and Information Hour. You guys can just keep quiet.
Well, I'm not going to do nothing smart-ass.
Yeah, I just don't want any smart-ass comments here, but... Anyway, welcome back to the radio program. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. You can watch us in live streaming video right now, our Phil TV and HD video cast in front of the gorgeous El Pacifico, as well as thousands of hours of archive material, all kinds of other on-demand video, and all kinds of hour after hour after hour enjoyment to be had there with a backstage pass. If you want to know a little bit more about our website and our archives, you can visit our philhenryradio.com site. And that has 24 hours of streaming Phil Hendry archive material. So 24 hours, you can listen to full hours of our show at philhendryradio.com. That's also going to be the future home of our podcast as well. Our number, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So for decades, Carroll Shelby, who just passed at the age of 89, and his name, you know, Bud, you were saying if nobody else knew his name, they knew his, what was it?
Yay, Chili Mix.
The Carroll Shelby Chili Mix, yeah. But he just died at the age of 89. Was he a Texan? Well, let's just read the story here. For decades, Carroll Shelby taught American car makers how to compete with and beat foreigners, ranging from the 1960s Ferrari exotics to the very first and very fast and furious Asian tuners. Along the way, he became the world's oldest heart transplant survivor and never seemed to lose the capacity for fun that made the Texas chicken farmer and chili chef, there it is.
I knew he had a chili.
Yeah, he did. And I've used it. And
what do you think?
It was good. You know, I mean, there's nothing in the Carroll Shelby chili mix that you couldn't just figure out yourself. But hey, you know.
Beats having to go out and buy yourself.
Yeah. The Texas chicky. The Texas.
Chicky farmer.
Texas chicken farmer and chicky, I mean, chili chick. What the hell?
Let me do it. He's a chicken chef.
Chicken shack.
What do you mean chicken shack? Texas chili farmer. Not a chili farmer. He's a chicken farmer and a chili chicken. A chili chef. God.
Man, I ain't doing a show. You want to sound like you're all jacked up in the head? That's your problem.
I understand that. I was getting tongue-tied. Shelby, who died in his native Texas at the age of 89 on Friday, is best known for the legendary Cobra. That car was in the 60s. That was it, man. The Cobra, oh, man, they wrote songs about the Cobra.
Which one?
I think there was one called Hey Little Cobra.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, that was the logical name for it. In any event, I think they had one called Hey Little Cobra. Cobra, you're great, and I love Cobra. I don't know. But in any event.
Talking about the snake?
The car! What did I tell you, man? Best known for the legendary Cobra, which married a big American V8 to a lightweight body and became one of the auto industry's timeless icons of performance. Now, I don't know that they ever sold the Cobra commercially. I could be wrong, but at the time, it was strictly a race car. And you heard people speak of the Cobra. Maybe they did. I was very young at the time. You heard people speak of the Cobra, but I never met anybody that owned one. Not a, well, maybe.
Probably have to look it up.
I guess I would. He loved fast cars, but unlike many enthusiasts who cut their teeth on massive 60s-era V8s, Shelby understood and appreciated the new technologies that would allow performance to coexist with fuel efficiency. Now, this is very interesting. Shelby was enthusiastic over the potential to build exciting cars with small engines. The first time that, quote, this author spoke to him in the mid-1980s when he was launching it. The author, by the way, is a writer for the Detroit Free Press. His name is Mark Phelan. And Mr. Phelan says, the first time I talked to Mr. Shelby in the 1980s when he was launching a turbocharged performance version of the little Dodge Omni hatchback. You guys remember that car? Maybe you do. I don't know. He was launching a turbocharged performance version of the Dodge Omni hatchback. It was badged Omni GLH because it goes like hell, he said to the writer, promising to follow up with a GLHS that would go like hell some more. At a time when many enthusiasts believed emissions and fuel economy regulations would eliminate fun cars and fast driving, Shelby saw a bright future. Kids with hot rod hearts could do more to tune their cars than ever before. With the computer, and this is what Shelby believed, with the new computer controls that were just then coming into production, you could do more to change a car's character and performance than ever before, he predicted. And he was right. Just like he had been decades earlier when he believed a Ford V8 in a light body would blow past more expensive German, Italian, and English racers. Carroll Shelby didn't see limits. He kept his eye on the finish line and the checkered flag. It's a very nicely written piece.
Who wrote that?
Mark Phelan with the Detroit Free Press. Shelby came home to Ford in his last years, rejoining the automaker that powered his legendary Cobra to create a series of breathtaking Shelby GT500 Mustangs that bear his unique Cobra badge. The latest, the 2013 Shelby GT500, has a 650 horsepower V8 that was specifically developed to overshadow Chevrolet's latest Camaro. Boy, the Camaro and Mustang.
They've been going at a long time.
Most of my friends got 5-speed Camaros.
Yeah, I'll bet they do.
What's that mean?
Just, you know, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, man, you think a Camaro is from Mexicans.
Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
All right, I'm not going to get into that. Don't get into the racial politics of Camaros, if you don't mind, okay?
Ain't that what you said?
I didn't say anything of the sort.
You said a Camaro 5-speed for Mexicans.
Get out of here. I did not. You guys, that's how you jackasses talk. All the time.
Don't have to tell people.
Well, I'm telling them now, if you're going to start hanging it on me. I don't know what your problem is, bud. You got all this race stuff. Your girlfriend's black. You're the weirdest cat I ever met in my life.
Yeah, you can say that again.
Why? What's the matter with it?
Nothing. You're always baiting Robert here. Always talking about black this, Mexican that, black this, Mexican that. And your girlfriend, who you're probably going to marry, is black.
Yeah, I'm not racist or nothing.
Well, I'd have to agree, except you talk all kinds of crap. Shelby came home to Ford in his last years.
You already read that part.
I'm going to belt you in about 5 seconds. Shelby came home to Ford in his last years, rejoining the automaker that powered his legendary Cobra to create a series of breathtaking Shelby GT500 Mustangs that bear his unique Cobra badge. The latest, the 2013 Shelby GT500, has a 650 horsepower V8 that was specifically developed to overshadow Chevrolet's latest Camaro. Well, I mean, he may be talking about smaller engines, you know, and more fuel efficiency, but there ain't nothing fuel efficient about a 650-horse V8, you know.
Yeah, well, he's trying to kick Camaro's ass.
I got to hand it to Chevy, though, man, to come up with a car that, you know, finally really scared Ford. Shelby grinned like a kid as the car's engine roared to life the evening before it would debut at the Los Angeles car show last fall. The latest, most impressive car had his name on it again, the way it should. That's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful article there about the late Carroll Shelby. How about that, huh?
You ever have a Mustang?
I didn't have a Mustang. I had a GTO back when GTOs were considered, you know, the Pontiac hot stuff. But Mustang's gorgeous. The original Mustang, in terms of just the lines on the car, was great. And then I think they kind of messed up the look of the car a little bit.
Yeah, they did. They jacked up the front. They jacked up the headlights and everything.
Yeah, they jacked up the design. And then Shelby got a hold of it. And there's a picture that I have of him here. If you guys are watching on Phil TV and HD, this is a picture of Carroll Shelby. The 40th anniversary of the Ford Mustang. This is at the Nashville Super Speedway. And he is on he's posing next to a 1968 GT500 KR. A 68, boy, that's a gorgeous, gorgeous fire engine red, black interior Mustang. Damn! Just a beautiful car, you know.
Yeah, I drive that car all the time, though.
Nah, I wouldn't drive a car like that all the time. You take that out on Sundays, you know what I'm saying, man? You take that out on a nice day, you ain't gonna be commuting in that. Are you nuts? But you take a car like that out on a Sunday, you just drive it around, show it off, you know.
Yeah, take out of muscle cars.
Yeah, go down to the muscle car show if you want to. So, Carroll Shelby, our condolences and our expressed admiration to Mr. Shelby, who passed on at the age of 89. And, you know, these names that we know, whether it's Andy Granatelli, whether it's Carroll Shelby, and they're all known for different things. I knew the name when I was growing up as a kid. I knew the name Jim Hall. Now, how many people know the name Jim Hall? Probably not a lot, but Jim Hall had his moment in the sun as he was from Texas. Some damn good car people from Texas. Jim Hall had the automatic transmission Chaparral Can-Am car. Growing up in Los Angeles, we'd go out to Riverside Raceway out here on the edge of the desert. And Riverside at that time had a raceway. It was a damn good one, and a lot of fun to go out there and watch the sports cars go. They had a road race track, and once a year they had, in August, they had a Grand Prix featuring Can-Am cars. These are closed-wheeled cars, bigger than the average sports car, bigger engines, and this guy Jim Hall came out there with his freaking automatic transmission on this Chaparral, and won the race. And they had drivers out there at the time, like Jim Clark, who was in a Lotus. Graham Hill. These are all Formula One drivers from Europe and good ones. And here comes Hall, this Texas guy with this automatic trans.
They don't have no automatic trans anymore.
No, that's what I was talking to Dan about. I don't think they do. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I got a tip for the waitresses out there. Not a financial tip, but it is a tip that will help you get financial tips. What do you think?
You didn't talk about them going nude or something.
I didn't say nude, did I? I'm going to start to make good on some of these promises about kicking some ass around here. We'll be back with that and more on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our News and Information Hour. Right after these messages.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I got some video on Phil TV in HD. Now we're just being a bunch of dudes. I had some Carol Shelby video that I was showing, and just as a kick for Dan, I decided to put up pictures of the 350 GT, which is his favorite car, the 1965. And I just happened to stumble upon a piece of video with Carol Shelby himself as a much younger guy. So, all right.
Yeah, that car looked kind of small.
That's a hell of a looking, nice looking sports car, though. And what we didn't watch, and maybe we can do later on, that cat took that out onto the track and chased down a Porsche. See, people are crazy about cars, as you know, and they're going to want. And that brings me to the topic of, you know, the whole fuel efficiency thing. And more to the point, the hybrid thing. There's no question that they would have far more success with the hybrid if they designed it like they wanted actual men to drive them and not dorks, you know?
Well, you better not say that, man. Some people take offense.
Well, I mean, come on, man. You got to be... I don't think it shows much aptitude on the part of these designers. I don't think... It's almost like they don't want to sell those cars because... If you know anything about cars in the United States, you know that people, it's an extension of someone's identity. It just is. That's all there is to it. You know, you can make all the jokes you want about guys that drive big trucks and they got small you-know-what.
That Facebook group. I like your truck. Sorry about your penis.
All right. But the fact of the matter remains that cars, trucks, you name it, these are, it's very important to people.
That why you drive a Jaguar?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah, that is why I drive a Jaguar. I drive a Jaguar because I drove nothing but garbage cans through 90% of my life. And when I finally made some money, I was still driving around a freaking Ford Ranger truck. What else was I driving? I had a Volkswagen, man. I was driving, you know. And my wife at the time said, why don't you spend some money on a car, man? I mean, don't you think you could afford it? And I liked it. I liked it a lot. I liked it sitting in a sedan. I like having I love driving that car, and it's comfortable. I like the way it looks, and that's just the way it is, you know, and that's the way everybody is with their car. But if you take these freaking fuel-efficient Priuses or whatever, these hybrids, it looks like you're a freaking little old lady school teacher or something. Why are they designing the cars that way? And don't give me this stuff about how, well, you know, it's the only way they can design them because don't give me that. Nonetheless, they design those cars like they don't want anybody in. They don't want a lot of people to buy them.
Would you buy one?
No, I would not buy one. No, I would not buy one. Okay, and you can call me a pig and a slob and a gas hog. You can say anything you want, but I wouldn't buy one. Now, if they wanted to make one that looked halfway decent,
don't they have a Mercedes?
I don't know whether they got a Mercedes this or a Lexus that. I don't know, man. I ain't talking about spending, breaking the bank on one. I'm just saying, does it have to look like a dorkmobile? If you're looking to save bread, it doesn't necessarily mean that if you're buying a car like that, a hybrid, that it's got to look like, Dork One. You know?
Like President Obama's Dork One.
Exactly. They got Air Force One. Then they have the president's Prius, Dork One. All right, researchers leave a good tip for waitresses. You know what it is, ladies, if you're a waitress? And I can only add to the chorus of voices that have been in support of you all these many years, like that beautiful, that monologue from Reservoir Dogs, where, you know, women in the workforce, the high percentage of women in the workforce that are waitresses and that they live in the... I understand all of that, and I tip liberally. Now, red lipstick. That's right, red lipstick. Waitresses may strive to get orders correct and provide excellent service, but pocketing good tips is all about the lips, according to French researchers.
Yeah, the French is... they make all the lipstick anyway.
The French make all the lips? I don't know if they do or not.
Maybe, man. They make a lot. They make Chanel number 5 is what they make. Yeah, Chanel number 5.
What about Chanel number 5?
They make that.
So what if they do make it? We're talking about lipstick, aren't we?
Ain't that lipstick?
No, it ain't lipstick. It's cologne. It's perfume.
Well, that's the same thing.
Would you shut up? No, it ain't the same thing. Waitresses who wear red lipstick on average receive tips 50% of the time from male customers.
Yeah, but it leaves a ring around. Well, I shouldn't say.
It does.
Yeah, uh-huh. It leaves a ring around. Oh, I shouldn't say.
You know what I mean.
Shut the cake hole. All right. Waitresses who wear red lipstick on average receive 50% tips 50% of the time from male customers, huh? Let me read that again, because that seems like not a big deal. Waitresses who wear red lipstick on average receive tips 50% of the time from male customers. You know what? This is a London, England... Let me explain something to you, Great Britain, which you probably already know. We tip all the time in America. If waitresses, I don't care if they're wearing red lipstick, green lipstick, or they've got multicolored lipstick. 50% of the time, we tip over here, see? Now, I know in Great Britain, they don't.
They don't?
Not really. I mean, when you do tip, it's considered to be quite an event. So they got an article here that says, well, hey, man, 50% of the time these women get tips. Well, over here, that would be considered just flat rude. So if you're an American waitress and you put on red lipstick, good God almighty, who knows what could happen. In any event, the tips were larger in amount than those given to waitresses who wore brown, pink, or no lipstick.
Brown? God.
Brown? You ain't seen brown lipstick?
Yeah, man, you're like a black woman. You ever heard of black women?
Well, yeah, but I don't mean nothing racial about it.
Anyway, and those groups on average were only tipped 30% of the time. So we're talking about Great Britain, and this is a study that's talking about how often you get tipped. And to hear that waitresses only get tipped 50% of the time, even with red lipstick, that sounds like El Cheapo. The presence of red lipstick made no impact on the tipping habits of female customers. The researchers noted that the rise in tips by male customers could be due to red lips being associated with an indication of estrogen levels, sexual arousal, and health. The study's research and results had practical implications for female employees, the sociologist said, suggesting that red lipstick was a means for enhancing their incomes, especially in bars or restaurants where men go. Now, if you want to get tipped all the time, move to America and get the same job, and it's considered to be rude not to tip at all. Okay? Put on red lipstick over here, and they may leave you a freaking lottery ticket.
Might be a loser.
Yeah, it might be a loser, but they'd still... Anyway, we'll be right back with more here on the world-famous film. More meaningless red lipstick. Massachusetts reverses its course on a bake sale ban. You wait till you find out why. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
There is a, on Phil TV and HD, that's a 350, that's a 65 Ford Shelby Cobra there, Dan. Dan Northcraft, our engineer, that's your favorite car right there, man. Look at the pipes on that. That's a gorgeous car, isn't it? and that's a 65 350 GT. That was at the 2011 Surf and Turb Classic Car Show at Imperial Beach, California. It's that time of year, you know, all over the country where all the muscle cars come out. Everybody's, you know, showing off their cars and stuff.
Yeah, they do it 20 all the time of the year here.
Yeah, well, we don't have snow. Whatever. When I lived in Minnesota, I lived in Minneapolis, and I would ask guys that were car enthusiasts, I said, well, I guess when the snow, he says, yeah, you think I'm going to bring my ride out in this stuff? You know, everything is like a couple of inches off the ground, and you've got snow that's 5 feet. That ain't going to happen. So, but when the spring months hit in the cities up there in Chicago and any of these cities that are snowbound, when finally the spring hits and everything melts, man, the bikes, the cars, it's like a parade out there. And you see all the bikes lined up in front of the bars. There's some joint in the Twin Cities called, Whiskey River or Whiskey Junction. And, man, come May, on a Friday night, it's like a bike show out there. It's kind of like the way Neptune's Net is up here.
I went up Neptune's Net one time, but I seen a guy got a radiator on a motorcycle.
A radiator?
Yeah.
That's a big engine. All right. Massachusetts has reversed its course on a bake sale ban. Now, let's read about this. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick said on Thursday he would support changing school nutrition guidelines that critics said threatened school fundraising projects. The State Department of Health, the public health department there in Massachusetts, said it would take emergency measures to reinstate Now they're going to take emergency measures to reinstate school bake sales, which would be banned effective August 1st under new rules intended to combat student obesity. I think this has happened in other states. The bake sale, which is a tried and true way of raising money for various school projects. We had them, and you've had them, and we've all, you know, everybody has bake sales. And they banned these, of course, in Massachusetts and other states. Governor Patrick said, nobody's interested in banning bake sales. We're interested in student nutrition, and we're interested in good choice. The governor said he would sign an amendment passed by the House Wednesday, and which was expected to gain Senate approval Thursday, to allow local officials to accept or reject the new school nutrition rules. So the school can make up its mind. Department of Public Health Commissioner John Auerbach issued a statement saying the department will amend the rules in June to relax restrictions on school-sponsored events, including bake sales. The newspaper said Auerbach.
Everybody named Auerbach in Massachusetts?
Is everybody named Auerbach in Massachusetts?
Yeah, the kind of guy, the Boston Celt team, Celtics.
You mean Red Auerbach?
Yeah.
No, they're not everybody. What kind of an idiotic question is that?
Well, maybe it's all the same family.
Yeah, remember that time you went down to Cayman Island and everybody was named Botton?
Well, yeah. I mean, when I went to Cayman Island, that's something I didn't tell you. I went down to Cayman Islands. I've been down there a couple of times. But you'll notice if you go to the Cayman Islands, you see Botton this and Botton that. B-O-D-D-E-N. And there was a Botton speed shop. And then there was Botton boats. And then there was a Botton real estate. And then there's a Botton. And as sure as hell, I got on the plane to fly back to Miami and the pilot came on.
And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Officer Botton.
Man, are you kidding me, man? Like, that's incest.
Yeah, ain't that against the law?
What do you mean, incest? It could be way, way out extended. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
But no, that ain't what they got going on in Massachusetts, okay? I don't think. So the Department of Public Health Commissioner is a guy named Auerbach. And anyway, John Auerbach issued a statement saying the department will amend the rules in June to relax restrictions on school-sponsored events, including bake sales, according to the Boston Globe. Auerbach said school nutrition standards, quote, have always been about reducing childhood obesity in Massachusetts and protecting our kids from the serious long-term health impacts that obesity can cause. Always. Even going all the way back to the days of John Adams when he was a, manure farmer. Now, then again, so he said, we hope to return the focus to how we can work together to make our schools healthy and environments in which our children can thrive. Now, that sounds sensible. Critics said the rules would hurt fundraising for athletics, band trips. It's true. You know, we got to start, sooner or later, you got to say the following. Say, look, Bake sales is how we raise money. Well, we can't have bake sales. Why? Because the kids are going to balloon out to about 900 pounds. And you say, well, what do you mean the kids are going to balloon out? How about having some parental supervision on what they eat?
Well, I mean, like, if your parents go to a bake sale.
All right, Robert, did your mother go to bake sales?
Yeah, my mother and mine both went to bake sales.
Okay, and what did they do?
They'd come back on a pie, like a Boston cream pie or something like that.
What's a Boston cream pie? See, that's Boston again.
But no, it's not. What do you mean Boston again?
That's where Red Airback's from and everything.
Oh, get out of here. Boston cream pie and what else?
Boy, they'd come back with cake. And they'd say, Robert, got a cream pie here. And I'd say, yeah, got my name on it. That I'd always say. Is it got my name? My aunt would always say, yeah, got your name on it. Come get it, boy.
Then you go ahead and go face first into it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not healthy at all, man.
What do you want me to do about it?
I wonder if we can get your aunt on the phone, huh?
Man, you better not. Don't get up in her face about it.
I'm not going to get in her face about it if you get her on the phone, though, bud.
Yeah, I'll call her up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What I'm trying to determine here is if my mom would go to bake sales, I guess. But most of these bake sales, did your aunt and your mom contribute?
Oh, yeah. My aunt made all kind of raisin cookie, everything.
Oh, hey, Mavis, how are you? Mavis, it's Phil Hendry. Mavis?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Mavis Bennett here. I can't hear the phone.
Can you hear me, dear?
I'm trying to listen. I can't hear nothing. I got it.
Bud, help her out.
Yeah, Miss Leonard? Miss Leonard?
I can't hear. I hear a retard, but I can't hear anything.
Mavis, it's Phil Hendry.
Audie, it's me. It's Robert.
Robert, is that you?
Yeah, it's me. Are you on Phil Hendry's show?
Oh, all right. I'll turn that off. They're trying to fix something here. I'm trying to turn that off. Could I turn it off? All right, I think I hear. Are you there, Mr. Hendry?
I'm here, yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear. We are trying to wash some clothes, and I have a noisy washing machine. And Ellis is here, Robert. Ellis, your cousin is here.
Oh, yeah. Tell him I said hey.
Yeah, Robert says, hey, Ellis.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You helping out on it?
I'll fix the washing machine.
This is pretty late to be doing washing, isn't it?
Yes, it is very late to be doing washing. I can't. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
It is very late to be doing washing, but I don't have no choice because Robert, he comes home. I got to do the washing because I got to scrub the streets out, you know.
Oh, you don't say nothing about that.
God, man.
What are you talking about? I have to come home. This boy drops his underwear on the floor. It's going to take me about an hour with a good wire brush to take a streaking out of that underwear.
God, man, that embarrassed me.
Then I suggest that you do something about that, okay? That I've got to take a wire brush the boy's britches, get the streaking out.
All right, well, we didn't call you about that. We called to ask you about bake sales.
I'm sorry, you called to ask me about what?
About bake sales.
I don't know about a bake sale. I don't.
Yeah, you do. I used to cook for them.
I cooked a bake sale many, many years ago when Robert was a little boy and him and my sister.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we wanted to ask you about that.
Did somebody die?
No, somebody didn't. What do you mean, from eating your bake sale?
Could have been. I don't know. You need I gotta get a new washer. Your cousin Ellis said I need a washer.
You better get it.
Yeah, Robert, go ahead and get it.
I'll come back, you dumbass.
Ellis said you a dumbass.
Okay. All right, so anyway, bake sales. Did you do a lot of cooking for bake sales yourself, or did you buy things at the bake sale?
Well, I did a lot of cooking. I had a raisin cookie. I had a couple of little cuties that I did. I had I did brownie. I did fudge. And I love the fudge, you know.
I love that fudge.
Yeah, I know you love the fudge. Robert, he would steal the fudge and shove it in his face. I always knew when Robert had stole the fudge because he had it all over his face, you know. And then he tried to hide it in his underwear. And one time...
Tried to hide it in his underwear?
Yeah, I tried to sneak it out of the house. I'd stick it down my pants.
Yeah, and one time I said, do you have your lunch money? And he went to go in his pocket, but he put his hand down his pants instead and pulled his fudge out. And I said, man, you are just like one of them people in a institution, you know, where they throw it on the wall. I said, oh, God, the boy just pulled it out of his shorts.
What? You thought I pulled my own doo-doo out? Oh, would you come on?
I didn't know. The boy putting the brownie down at 10. And so I had written that song, you know, when I wrote that spiritual.
Yeah, but Ari, you know that I wouldn't. You said I was acting like a man on an institution.
Because I've worked in an institution. And I'll tell you right now, boy, that a lot of those people in there would take it out of their shorts and throw it all over like they're, I don't know, like they're throwing, like they're Jackson Pollock making one of them paintings, you know, just throwing all the paint all over the place. Like a Jackson Pollock only using a diaper stuff and thing like that.
Yeah.
So I wrote that song.
Well, what song?
Well, they're called the Brownie. They're called the Brownie. Yeah, he put his hand in his shorts, Brownie, and, you know, went like that. Well, one fine day, last May, put his hand in his, you know, and then it goes, there's the Brownie. It's Brownie Mix.
Well.
What are you laughing at, Mr. Henry?
I'm laughing at you. I'm laughing at you. All right, so we've done enough poo jokes, you know.
I'm not joking. That's what this fool did, you know.
No, I understand that. So, Robert, no wonder you like fudge, huh?
Well, I mean, I don't like fudge that much. I mean, I was a little kid. I didn't know what I was doing.
You don't even know any better not to put it in your pants.
I didn't put it down my pants, man. I thought I put it in my pocket. That's what you're trying to say.
Yeah, that fool, he thought he put a fudge square down in his short, in his pocket, but it's actually down his pants. So he reached in and pulled that out, and I went, my God, my God. He's acting like he's a blithering, he's like a babbling fool gonna start throwing it. Like the monkey do at the zoo, you know.
Yeah, you go down to the zoo, you see a monkey do that.
That's what I was afraid Robert gonna do.
All right, well, you'll notice that I called you up to ask you about bake sales, and we didn't get anywhere near that. We're talking about him pulling brownies out of his shorts and throwing it around. So.
Well, yeah, that's my family, you know.
Yep, that's the Leonard family.
That's right.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Thanks, Mavis.
When are you going to be done, Ellis? Because you're a pain in the...
So your cousin's over there trying to get that fixed, huh?
Yeah, I'm trying to fix the washing machine.
All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry show, 877-876-PHIL. Reese Witherspoon's dad has been sued for bigamy. Check that out.
Reese Witherspoon's hot.
She may be hot, but her father is hotter. And we'll read that story when we come back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What was
Truth
that song again?
Is our
this is
bitch.
Song about brownie.
The Phil Henry Show.
Oh, the brownie. Oh, the brownie. Put his hand.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com.
Well, because this guy's selling his Cobra, you know, we were looking at YouTube. This dude's selling a 1965 AC Shelby Cobra that he said was a show winner. He's selling it. This was as of October 2011. The video is still up on YouTube, and I guess he didn't sell it. There's not even any comments.
Now, he might have disabled a comment and maybe open up now.
I mean, I could probably do this guy a lot. I could probably help this guy if I just flashed a picture, but I'm not going to do it.
Why not?
Because I don't want to get any expectations going. All right. I'm not going to put some guy's Cobra on. Hey, look, here's a guy's Cobra for sale here on the Phil Henry Show. You remember the old garage sales and stuff like that?
So they have like a yard sale.
I mean, I worked at a radio station not too long ago where on Saturday morning they had, it's the Saturday morning garage sale here on KASS. And hello, I'm Bob so-and-so, you know.
But they do.
Well, they sold all kinds of stuff, you know. It was real cheesy, real small town. It was just like, oh, hi, yeah, listen, I've got a, and then they would say things like, I've got a wall heater. Now, it's a wall heater and it's nice. And it can be mounted easily, this, that, okay? I know what it was. Some cat had a grandfather clock. I have a grandfather clock, and it's really nice, you know. Well, the guy would call back every week. I still have that grandfather clock, you know. And
why would they hang up on the guy?
They didn't, man. They didn't. It was not a very well-produced show. I mean, you obviously don't want to have the same products and stuff, you know. I don't think you should. And just stuff like that. And they'd always have to say, no dealers, no firearms, no explosives, you know. So these would have to be just individual people that were selling this stuff. But this dude called, you know, yes, hi, I called last week. I have the grandfather clocks to, like, week six. Yeah, hi, I still have my grandfather clock. I don't think anybody in the coverage area of the radio station wants your grandfather clock. Maybe I'm wrong. So anyway.
Anybody did ever sell it?
I don't know. As long as I can remember listening to that show, they never sold it. And then they had they even did this on a big city. When I was in Atlanta on Saturday morning. Nah, that couldn't have been, no. I think there was, in Atlanta, they had a show that was a Mr. Fix-It kind of a thing. Anyway, in Nashville, a judge in Tennessee will have to sort out a bizarre series of events involving the parents of actress Reese Witherspoon. The Hollywood star's mother, Mary Elizabeth Betty Witherspoon, filed a lawsuit. You know, there was a great jazz musician named Jimmy Witherspoon.
Think that was her dad?
Well, he was black.
Oh.
Anyway, could be. Anyway, the Hollywood star's mother, Mary Elizabeth Betty Witherspoon, filed a lawsuit Tuesday in Davidson County against her husband, John Witherspoon, seeking to have his new marriage annulled and accusing him of bigamy. Yes, it was bigamy. Anyway,
just read the story, huh?
Oh, well, yes, sir. Betty Witherspoon says John Witherspoon can't be married to Trishianne Taylor, a woman he appeared with in a wedding announcement in the Tennessean last month, because he's still married to her. The April 22nd announcement said John Witherspoon and Trishianne Taylor married on January the 14th in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and a summer reception in Nashville is planned. Well, guess what, pal? You may have to put that off. Cowboy boots and yellow roses accented the ambiance of the couple's Texas heritage, the paid announcement read. The bride's full-length formal ivory satin gown featured a sequin-braided halter necklace. The groom wore a white linen suit accentuated with a gold Parthenon tie, a gift from the bride, tight vinyl pants, and penny loafers. No, I'm just kidding about that.
Yeah.
John Witherspoon, age 60, and Taylor, 19.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, Ms. Taylor is 60. John Witherspoon, 70, and Taylor, 60, applied for their marriage licenses in Davidson County on January 11th, 3 days before the ceremony, according to records. But the Davidson County dumbasses didn't run it through a computer and couldn't find... I'm kidding. I'm sure they don't have that, though.
Why don't they have that, man? I bet you run that driver's license.
Well, they're not going to... I mean, they got a database for driver's licenses. I just... They don't have one. I guess they're going to have to start having one for marriage certificates, huh?
Well, they already do that. Probably put a computer strip on the back.
Hey, man, let me tell you what. The way this... If this crap's going down... You know, a marriage license is made out of paper...
Well, would you say they got a marriage license like a credit card?
I don't know. Maybe this isn't that big of a problem. If it's not that chronic a problem, but it would seem easy enough. It probably isn't a very chronic problem, but it would seem easy enough if you had that kind of computer tracking of marriages. That's all I'm saying. I mean, this is a problem for Reese Witherspoon, and we're laughing about it, and she's probably embarrassed, or maybe she didn't give a sweet GD. Anyway, before that, Taylor and John Witherspoon applied for their marriage certificate in Rutherford County on July the 6th, 2011. It was never returned to the county. Marriage applications in Tennessee are only valid for 30 days. Taylor is from Las Casas in Rutherford County and has been married twice before. It's unclear how the two met. Maybe they haven't met. According to the wedding announcement, she's active in Veterans Affairs and is the former president and CEO of Action Designs. The salon business was run out of a house in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Rutherford County. All right, we'll update you on this. Or I'm sure you'll update it yourselves before I can update you on Reese Witherspoon's dad and his bigamy. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and join us as we videocast our radio show as well as... not just videocast the radio show, as well as audiocast the whole thing, okay? Let's see. We'll see you guys on Monday. Don't forget Phil Hendry Show, philhendryradio.com. That's philhendryradio.com. You can listen to or have your friends listen to free live streams from the Phil Hendry Show. Until then, let that be a lesson for you.
Phil Hendry.